Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay, and I'm going to start this interview with Mike Lombardi, former general manager, won the Super Bowl three times as an NFL executive and the host of the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network, the first 24/7 broadcast network dedicated exclusively to sports betting. We have Sean King on the show all the time, and now we're joined by a guy I always love when he makes time to join us. It is Mike Lombardi. And Mike, I want to start with an apology. I think last time you came on, we started with Jungle Land. We were going to do some Bon Jovi. My producer forgot. He will be fired. Do you have a song you would like to hear at the end of this interview?
Oh, you know, I think, when you come to John, I think it's Living on a Prayer. I think you got to go with that. That's one of his classics. But, I mean, he's tremendous. We just named one of the rest stops on the Garden State Parkway. It's been named after him, which is awesome.
Cool. All right. Well, first off, we will have Living on a Prayer. And by the way, a hacky radio host would use that line to segue into a variety of NFL coaches getting fired questions. But I want to start here with you. How much damage is it to a franchise when they hire a bad GM? And I know all these teams are looking for the next savior head coach, but I'm a Giants fan. I've seen the damage done by David Gettleman. How much damage, like, you have a bad GM for 3-4 years. How long can that take in the next group to fix?
Well, I mean, I think in the Giants case, it's unique. I mean, you can throw Gettleman off the boat, but the problems aren't going to go away. Let me just give you a little bit of history about your New York Football Giants. From 1974 to 1978 was the worst era in Giant football. It ended in November of 1978 when the Giants were leading the 6-5 Eagles. They were 5-6.
Yeah.
And Joe Pisarcik turned and pivoted to hand the ball off to Larry Zonka. He fumbled. Herman Edwards picked it up, and the rest is history. We call it the miracle of the Meadowlands. That was the intervention the Giants needed to change. At that moment, the commissioner got involved, and they appointed really basically George Young to run the team and run the franchise and remove the ownership group. Well, we haven't had that intervention. Perhaps, that Joe Judge's decision to run two quarterback sneaks on second and third down backed up might be the right intervention. But I don't think getting a new general manager is going to solve the Giants' problems. And to finalize this historical lesson is these past 5 years, their one-loss record is 27% lower than what it was in the worst five of their history.
So then all we need to do is hire Ray Perkins, then Bill Parcells, get Lawrence Taylor, get Phil Sims, have Bill Belichick as the defensive coordinator, have a good backup in Jeff Hostetler, and then we'll be good from 1981 to 1990, and the Giants can redo that again, right?
I think that's a really good plan. I mean, I think it's going to take some organization. What you just described there, really, is you're making fun of it, but what you just described is an organizational makeover.
Yeah,
it is. That's what they need. And because John Mara is the owner of the team and runs the team, I mean, Gettleman is what they had this term in The Sopranos when they call him the sacrifice bun. I mean, he's the sacrifice bun. They're going to sacrifice him. You know, and it's not really his fault. It is his fault, but it's not. But why did they hire Gettleman? That's the question everybody should ask. Not why, how bad is Gettleman? Why they hired Gettleman? Because he was part of their culture. He was part of doing what they've always done. And until they're willing to change, that won't happen.
Until then, I'm just going to go back to YouTube clips of the Giants twice beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
You can watch the entire game is on YouTube if you care to.
I'd rather not. I think I'm just going to watch Lawrence Taylor sacking Ron Jaworski. I think I'll if I'm going to do Giants and Philly from the old days, I'm going to stick there. We are joined by Mike Lombardi. And so I just want to sort of spin the wheel of topics with you because you're always good on all this kind of stuff. You're Cleveland. What do you do with Baker Mayfield?
I think you hang on to him. You do exactly what they're doing. You say he's our starter for next year, and then you go out there and you start looking for somebody to replace him. I mean, that's just what you're not going to be able to replace. He's really cheap on your cap. He's not costing you a lot to keep him. So why not just keep him? You know, and plan your off season as him as an asset. And if you get the opportunity to trade him or to upgrade him, then go ahead. But right now, you know you've made the playoffs with him before, yep. right? So there's no sense of urgency. Like, there's no sense in tearing down the house until you know you got another house.
Yeah, no, you're right. And as I said, at that money, it's not a tremendous amount. Keeping on, to me, the one that feels like it gets talked about last offseason, I think it'll get talked about this offseason. I don't see any way Russell Wilson is traded. The grass is not always greener on the other side. Also, Pete Carroll at that age is not, I don't think he's going to want to do a full rebuild. I think at the start of next year, Russell Wilson is a Seahawk. That's my prediction. I'm curious about yours.
I think you're right. I think this is a media-driven story. I think they just won't let it go.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's been put out there that he wants to get traded. He denies it. He says no. But, you know, for clicks and for all the things that they want, it's staying alive. And I'm not sure it's the right thing. I think it's actually the wrong thing. I don't think he wants to get traded. And who and why would they? See, nobody fills in the sentences, right? You trade Russell Wilson. Who's replacing him for Seattle? They don't have a first-round pick this year or next year. How do they replace him? What are they going to do? Are they bewitched and they're going to click their fingers and a quarterback's going to show up? I mean, seriously, like, how do you do this?
I wondered, by the way, Mike, do you think my producer got that reference?
No chance.
None at all.
But
none
it's okay.
at.
It's okay.
It's good. Okay. I got it. I loved it.
He can't get John Bon Jovi right. So, you know, I mean, we'll see.
By the way, I'm the one who
calls me and wants me to work for him. I mean, I don't understand it.
I don't either. As I told you, Austin will be fired at the end of the show today. On a more serious note, again, joined by Mike Lombardi, former GM in the NFL, part of three Super Bowls as an executive, and check out his work with VSiN, the Lombardi line. How many GMs and owners, how many around the NFL, they're just waiting to see what the end game legally is with Deshaun Watson?
I think any team that has a quarterback issue is waiting for that. I think it's probably name the teams, Cleveland. You know, name all the teams that don't like their quarterback. Miami,
yeah.
Cleveland, Washington, name them all. I mean, they're all going to be in it.
Yeah, it's
and now what happens now is because they've waited, now every pick in the draft is quantified. So if you trade Miami wanted to trade their first round pick, you know exactly what it is. If they wanted to do it before the draft, you didn't know what it was. Before the end of the season, you were guessing on what it was. You know, if Miami would have traded him in October, you'd think, oh boy, I got a top five pick, but it ends up being you don't. So This now benefits them.
Yeah, and God, it's to me, everything is waiting on Deshaun, is waiting on just what happens there. Then it becomes a football conversation. It's a morality conversation. It's a second chance one, and it just becomes, I mean, you could do 4 hours just on that. I'm wondering, the impact on a team when you have an older owner who hasn't won, and I'm thinking of Stephen Ross in Miami, who, you know, got rid of Brian Flores, and not the same thing, but like Jerry Jones, and everything's good right now in Dallas, but hasn't won since Barry Switzer. As a guy who's been in the NFL for so long, how much of a difference does it make if you got an owner who's a little bit older who hasn't done any winning?
Oh, I think it makes a huge, all of them want. The two things owners want, they want to win a Super Bowl and they want to get in the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's the two things the owners want more than anything. And you're seeing more owners want to run their teams before. I mean, look, Stephen Ross runs that team as much as anything, even though he's in New York. I mean, he's involved in all the decisions. I'm not saying he's making the decisions. He's just he knows the decisions. So, and he said this summer, which was a catch-all line, that, hey, I expect to go to the Super Bowl soon. And he thinks his team's ready to compete. And I think ultimately what most owners fail to acknowledge and understand is expectations are the killer. You know, they expect to. I mean, he has an opinion of where Tua is as a player. And I don't think that's the real deal.
Yeah, and choosing the general manager over the coach, I don't know, just seemed weird, Brian Flores getting fired, considering the amount of wins he was able to put up with that roster. More remarkable for you, Mike Lombardi, the Steelers somehow getting in, or the Saints going 9-8 with four different quarterbacks, no Michael Thomas, and Alvin Kamara in and out of the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of Sean's greatest coaching jobs, right? I think it's really good, and so I just think it's remarkable. I don't think it gets enough credit. Him and Mike Tomlin, to me, deserve a standing ovation for what they've accomplished this year.
And is the exact opposite of that Brandon Staley and the Los Angeles Chargers?
You know, I think Staley gets way too much, you know, love for going for it on fourth down. If you examine this Charger team defensively, it's one of the worst defensive teams. It's one of the worst defensive teams in the league. They actually got worse from their defense last year to this year. They fired Anthony Lynn because he gave up 120 points in the fourth quarter. This year they gave up 179. When I was in Cleveland with Bill Belichick and Nick Saban as our defensive coordinator, the entire season we gave up 204 points.
My God. That's crazy. And it just, like, how do you not get into the playoffs when you have Justin Herbert healthy for every game? You got more than you got like 80% of the league looking for an elite quarterback.
I'll tell you, I'll answer your question. If this is Jeopardy, the answer is you're 32nd and third down defense. The answer is you're 29th in points allowed. That's how.
Off of any just what's going on now, hanging out with Belichick and Nick Saban, I'm wondering, and just thinking about this as Belichick's getting ready to go back to the playoffs and Saban was in the national championship. I don't know if there's, and this is a tough question because I'm sure there's a thousand, but is there any story that sort of sticks out for you hanging out with like just those two people that have been, they've been in our football lives for decades?
Yeah, you know, I didn't hang out. I kind of worked with them. So it's kind of a different, you know, it's a different setting. But
yeah,
they're different. They're very different in terms of their personalities, in terms of their philosophical nature of how defense should be played. But they're very similar in how they get there. And they're both really good listeners. And they both kind of take what the other says and blends it into what they want to do. It's a really powerful, when you round them and they're talking football, coaching football, it's a powerful conversation.
As we end this, producer Austin, if you got any music to play lightly in the background, I was wondering, Mike, if you could just tell everyone where they can find you, where they can see you. We're fans of VSiN. We have Sean King on the show all the time. But where can people find your great work?
VSiN every day from 12 to 2, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 12. My podcast is called The GM Shuffle. That's available every Monday and Thursday. And then on Twitter, M. Lombardi NFL on Twitter. I'm all over the place.
Mike,
I have too many jobs. I need to get rid of a few.
You really do. Yeah, exactly. But man, it's fun, and you'll at least. Well, I was gonna say you'll get a break, but no. Then there's the off season. Then there's the draft. You'll get 2 weeks off sometime in June. But Mike, I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care. That is Mike Lombardi, former general manager and, again, three-time Super Bowl winning NFL executive.